This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. So the Malaysian government has banned locals from participating in a farm worker visa scheme that has been introduced by Australia. And this has drawn a lot of criticism, mainly on the loss of opportunity for local workers. So last week, the Deputy Human Resources Minister, Dato' Awang Hashim, informed the Dewan Negara that Malaysians are banned from participating in the ASEAN farm worker visa scheme that was introduced by Australia. And he said that one of the reasons given for this was that the Australian visa was a pathway for people to seek permanent residency in Australia and therefore not acceptable to the Malaysian government. Now, just to understand how this... just to understand what this scheme actually is. So the ASEAN Farmer Scheme essentially is for skilled, semi-skilled and unskilled farm workers from ASEAN, and they will be able to enter into employer-sponsored arrangements with Australian farmers. The Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has stated that this visa doesn't actually have a path to regional settlement or permanent residence. Instead, it's actually meant to fulfill a need on Australia's side for workers. And on the other hand, of course, provide economic opportunity for people in ASEAN countries. So this has drawn a lot of criticism, primarily because of that, right? The fact that banning this will essentially close off this as an avenue for employment, for opportunity for a lot of Malaysians. Now, if we just look at the criticisms that have been raised, Ipoh Barat MP and former Human Resources Minister M. Kulasegaran said that it's not the government's place to deny Malaysians well-paying opportunities overseas. He pointed out that workers earning from other countries would eventually flow that capital back into Malaysia, and that they would also be able to gain skills, ideas and technological expertise that they could then bring back to the country. Meanwhile, Selayang MP William Leong raised the point that farmer schemes would go quite a long way in protecting Malaysians who would want to go to Australia to work, rather than going through the illegal route and being an illegal migrant, that this is actually a way in which they would be protected and be offered the same kinds of opportunities that other legal workers would be. And finally, Klang MP Charles Santiago has pointed out that one of the main gaps here, of course, is the fact that wages in Malaysia are not high enough. And if wages in Malaysia don't increase, then there is going to be an exodus of Malaysians looking for better paying work elsewhere. And this would then, of course, cause our own labour to begin drying up. So we're going to be getting into this, what it means when Malaysians go abroad to work, but also is it fair for the government to be denying such opportunities when we might not be able to offer those opportunities ourselves? We'd like to hear from you. What can the government do to retain more Malaysians in the local job market? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And today we're discussing the ASEAN farm worker scheme that was introduced by Australia. And more specifically, the fact that the Malaysian government has banned locals from participating in it. This has drawn a lot of criticism. So we're trying to understand the impact of this and what we need to put in place to be able to make life better, to keep our workers here in our market. So let us know, what can the government do to retain more Malaysians in the local job market? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization. He's also a professor of economics at University Malaya. Dr. Niaz, thank you for joining us. Now, to start off, what do we know about the ASEAN Farm Worker Scheme?
Thank you for having me on the show. Well, it's a new scheme that has been introduced by the Australian government, where employers can sponsor foreign workers to come and work in Australia. And this is subject to a formal employment contract meeting certain specified obligations. And it has come after necessary amendments being made to the country's immigration legislation that now allows officially skilled and unskilled farm workers from ASEAN countries to move to Australia for employment in agricultural sector. And you know, as we speak, the first cohort of workers are expected to arrive in Australia between December this year and March next year.
And for Malaysian workers, what are some of the main attractions when it comes to schemes like this?
So for, you know, Malaysian workers, of course, it means an opportunity to experience a foreign labor market, to acquire critical skills and expertise, opportunities to learn through, you know, employment and to challenge themselves as well. And at the same time, of course, it also means an opportunity to experience better living condition. And at the same time, to make sure that their rights are not violated, they have the due protection of the law, and that, well, they enter the country as documented workers so that in case of dispute, they also have the support of Malaysian government, who can then take the issue to international platforms in case of any form of compromise with labor standard. And I should also add that in the past, there has been cases of illicit trade of tobacco and other commodities into Australia involving Malaysian citizens. And this, again, would stamp out illicit trade in general between the two countries.
But now the Malaysian government has banned locals from participating in this scheme. Where do you think that rationale is coming from?
I can think of three reasons why the government is concerned. One is, you know, the fear over brain drain. We know how it has affected our economy. Many talented Malaysians have, you know, moved overseas. Next door, Singapore has close to 500,000 Malaysians. And in a way, this scheme may lead to an exodus of talented Malaysians who seek permanent residency, an opportunity to migrate to a high-income country. And I suppose, again, this is the first reason, that the fear over losing talents who might be moving overseas in disguise of farm workers. So the second one is, you know, again, relating to our own, you know, labor market dynamics, that, well, following COVID-19 pandemic, public opinion has shifted against, you know, our foreign labor dependence, particularly in the plantation sector. So therefore, the government now is under tremendous political pressure to involve Malaysian citizens in our agricultural sector and gradually phase out presence of foreign workers in the plantation sector. So exactly, you know, when we are trying to restore balance in our own agriculture sector, this particular scheme makes the task a lot harder for the government by creating a new incentive for Malaysians who could provide replacement for foreign workers in our own country's agriculture sector to now move overseas. And the third, you know, reason why the government is concerned has to do with something which is a bit long term. Our farmers are aging. So therefore, you know, in a matter of a couple of years, there will be, you know, a severe, you know, shortage of labor in the agriculture sector in general. And therefore, we have to look for a sustainable source of, you know, ensuring labor supply. And at this time, therefore, if we are losing our potential, you know, workforce who could enter agriculture, this would also create a long-term crisis.
So are these concerns from the Malaysian government justified? And generally speaking, do source countries for labour benefit or lose out from arrangements like these?
Well, you know, this is a yes and no answer. If you think about it, it really depends on who is leaving the country and whether there are specific institutional arrangements in place to ensure that the migration is temporary. So let me break it down for you. Whether, you know, the source country benefits from, you know, arrangements such as this, where through official channel, citizens move to another country and work in their in the overseas agriculture sector, ultimately depends on whether the government has a scheme to complement the Australian farmer scheme to ensure reverse migration. Because ultimately, the source country stands to benefit if there are institutional mechanisms to ensure brain circulation. So what do I mean by that? Well, it refers to the fact that our citizens go overseas, acquire expertise, or what we call, you know, experience brain gain, but then there is a mechanism for them to return home. And with that, they bring not just back capital and savings, but also critical talents and skills that can then, you know, help introduce reforms and other progressive practices in our own farming community. And so therefore, this is very critical because as we speak, Malaysian government is very keen to automate our agricultural sector. Yet when we look at the current state of farming practices, it is not intensive in technology. So think of our farmers going to Australia and learning about precision farming and the use of drones. And when we have a critical mass of farmers with overseas exposure to such advanced technology in farming, they can be a vital force to reform and restructure and to automate our own agriculture sector. But of course, there is a big if, which is whether they will return, and that so much depends on whether the government of Malaysia will have an institutional arrangement in place to make sure that the migration to Australia is just temporary and not permanent.
Now, some critics have pointed out, some critics of this ban have pointed out that Malaysia could instead look at raising wages locally instead of preventing people from seeking opportunities elsewhere. Now, would that be a more effective move in the long term?
Well, you know, ultimately, migration is, you know, about human choice. And if we look globally, people have been crossing borders for centuries. And one fundamental driver of that is inter-country wage differentials. So, which is why we typically see citizens of low-income countries moving to high-income countries. And therefore, you are right that, well, if we improve our wage level, if we make our labor market more attractive, that kind of reduces the relative incentive to move overseas to a high-income country like Australia. But it is not just about pay. It is also about, you know, the right to decent work, you know, the guarantee of, you know, being treated with dignity at work, because we also have a lot of cases of abuse in the agriculture sector that, well, it is a source of not, you know, good life. Majority of our farmers are B40 and extreme poverty is quite high in the farming community. So therefore, you know, as we speak, these are not conditions where Malaysians with talents consider agriculture as a sector of employment. And therefore, it is not just about fixing the wage level. It is about making sure that everyone also has the guarantee of decent work conditions in agriculture, and again, an abuse-free work environment. And I should also add that when we talk about increasing the minimum wage, a lot of it is also about the issue of compliance. We also hear stories in the media that often workers are not even paid what is being specified as the minimum wage. Again, in this context, any scheme where the state parties are involved ensures that workers will be given their due rights, be that in Australia or be that in another country.
So Selayang MP William Leong has also pointed out another facet of this. He said that the government's ban could leave many Malaysians working in exploitative conditions in Australia when otherwise the farmer scheme would have protected their rights. We know that even before this, Malaysian workers have migrated to work in Australian farms, although some may have done that illegally. What are your thoughts on this?
I completely agree. We should always, you know, encourage a flow of labor within a regime where there is due legal protection. And a scheme such as the ASEAN Farm Worker Program is one that promises exactly that. It ensures that no one enters Australia to seek employment in the farming sector illegally. Everyone is duly you know, registered with state authorities. They have the proper documents. So therefore, in case of labor dispute, they will have full protection of the law. And in the past, again, many have move to high-income countries through illegal means, entering the country without due paperwork, and therefore, you know, in times of their crisis, they have been denied due legal support from the Malaysian government as well as from Australian authority. And therefore, it is in the interest of Malaysian government to encourage more initiatives that legalize cross-border flow of citizens from ASEAN countries to Australia and other neighboring countries. And I should also add that, you know, Malaysia should know better, because we also have our own fair share of undocumented workers in East Malaysia. And we have also suffered, you know, for this reason, particularly in times of pandemic, having the added difficulty of not knowing which worker is affected and infected by the virus and how to provide help to them. So therefore, I suppose this is a global realization that, you know, we should provide more legal protection, not less, to workers everywhere in the world, regardless of their citizenship. And therefore, again, regardless of whether it's a host country or source country, governments at all stages should encourage legalization of migration.
So you've brought up a few points throughout this interview, but do you have other thoughts on how else the Malaysian government could have addressed their concerns instead of implementing this total ban?
One specific measure that the Malaysian government can consider is to negotiate with the Australian government some provisions that would ensure that all Malaysian migrants to Australia would return back eventually. So this can be achieved by introducing a cap in terms of duration of stay as a migrant worker in Australia, so that after 5 years, for example, you know, all the, you know, migrant workers to Australia return. So this would ensure that, you know, all cases of migration are temporary, and added measure could be that there is no provision for, you know, return migration to the same country within a period of 10 years.
Dr. Niaz, thanks for speaking with us. That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization and Professor of Economics at University Malaya, weighing in on Malaysia's ban of locals taking part in the Australian Farm Workers Scheme. Share your thoughts with us. What can the government do to retain more Malaysians in the local job market? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.